Welcome to another edition of the Nine Summoning Insight presented by AT&T. We didn't plan to be here today. We planned to take a nice little break, maybe until before the summer split, maybe until we got to see that cool Korea versus China tournament that Riot's having. But you know what? Somebody had to shine the integrity symbol into the clouds, and we had to assemble with some of our favorite people. So Thorin and I today are joined by Lokodoku, who I know has already thought about this a lot, since he has already made a video about it, which you can check out. Thorin's already made about a video about it. Mr. Barry Lee has not made a video about it, but he has made tweets about it. And he, for those of you who don't know, is a player agent at Evolved. He is not Dardock's agent, but he is here to speak from the perspective of being both an attorney and a player agent. So welcome, gentlemen.
By the way, I'll just retranslate that into language that our fans will understand. TSM done fucked up. So what do you think? I was like, good so, time. I think we can. Monty was kind of like a scene that I won't ruin the movie, but it's a very pivotal scene in the great movie Heat from, I think, 1996. Not 1995, actually, where he just says, I'll make time. So if you know the scene I'm referring to, that's kind of what me and Monty did in this scenario. You know what? I'd be in bed now, but I can make time.
Exactly. Exactly. And to start this off, I want to be very clear. This is a conflict of interest. There is no world where it being a conflict of interest is remotely debatable. We know and knew already that this situation was a conflict of interest. Now, what we did not know was the damage that this conflict of interest can cause, which we've come to find out in a catastrophic series of decisions that were incredibly either naive or stupid by multiple members of TSM over the last 24 hours. I am not calling people at TSM stupid. I am saying that what they did, their actions were stupid. There is a difference. Now, we're not talking about whether this is conflict of interest. You do not know what a conflict of interest is if you do not think this is one. Period. Go research that first.
So I would say that, by the way, there's one thing I found very interesting about this entire debacle is I have not seen Reginald Lena or anyone at TSM define ever what a conflict of interest is. That's what I don't get about this. Well, that's the joke, isn't it? They have a conflict of interest by to not say that. They don't want you to think about that whole thing. It's kind of weird though, right? Because the first thing I would do if I was trying to explain that something's nonsense is define the terms and then explain by contrasting against what the other person claimed how what they were saying is untrue. That's never happened as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So that is not up for debate, guys. People who say it's not, they are not worth the time of day. Now, the question going into this entire situation was, how does this conflict of interest actually play out? Now, are these people going to be professional and responsible? And remember, the only thing that I said should be done is that, first off, I said the trade shouldn't go through, which I don't think it is, because I don't think anybody should be put into a scenario of conflict of interest. That's my personal opinion. Thorin disagreed with me. Now, the other thing I said is Lena should obviously take a step back from the League of Legends team, and I think Riot should have mandated that to make sure there isn't a conflict of interest. Now, why did I say this should occur? The reason is because conflicts of interest exist, and these barriers are put in place because it is extremely difficult to prove that something is going on because of the nature of these personal relationships, and that evidence is almost always not there in these scenarios, right? So the only way you can...
Well, not materially there.
Yes, exactly. So the only reason that you have these structures in place is because there's just too much of a risk, and you know 99 out of 100 times that you will not be able to prove that some shenanigans are happening. So you must, ergo, prevent the situation from happening in the first place.
Shout out to reality for giving us the 1 out of 99.
The
though.
1 out of 100 fucking chance that this actually gave us the evidence is
both ends of it as well. They literally bugged themselves and admitted to it.
This is so insane, guys. Like, I am telling you right now,
it's the impossible proof. It's
amazing, you will never see this again in your life, ever. Ever. None of us are ever going to be in this scenario again. This is the one time that we're ever in our lives going to be involved with a conflict of interest that is provable. Okay? So it has been proved. And not only that, not only was it proved in this instance, it was then retroactively proved by comments that were made after the fact, to that it was presented as normalized and happening previously. It just wasn't picked up on the microphone. Like, the level of incompetence here, let me put it this way. I got DM'd by somebody that clip of Lena saying, talking about Dardock. And I listened to it, and I honestly thought it was fake because it couldn't possibly be true. We could not possibly.
Would have been a great stunt if this had all been a campaign for the noble.
I was like, this. I'm living in a simulation. I'm living in a scripted universe where, I mean, look, man, I've had a lot of good karma where things just prove that I'm right all the time. That's kind of like my place in the universe.
Oh, that's your brand.
But this level of being proved right, even this took me by surprise personally.
Well, normally you have to explain why, which it basically just employs the creative element of your brain. And at a point in time, you know, anything that's not a fact is can be bent to your will. The problem is, Monty, in this case, I mean, half the comments even from people who are TSM fans were like, well, shit, how can we even say this isn't true? Like, when even TSM fans are doing that, like, you got to start questioning, boys. These guys will defend to the bitter end.
Yeah, I want to go on the second part that Monty talked about. I think the leak happening is fucking awful for TSM, but the second part...
And Dardock.
Lena,
it's fucking awful for Dardock. Let's be
Dardock
clear.
Dardock and TSM. Sure, yeah.
Who cares if it's bad for TSM? Anyway, continue.
I care. And then the second part where Lena goes and admits, hey guys, this happens all the time. That is like the part that blew my mind, where Lena's response should be, we're in a quarantine, we're working in close quarters, way more so than normal. This would normally never, ever happen. Normally, I would make sure I take the call outside in a different room. But she openly says, yeah, I normally work while Double F is streaming, and it hasn't been a problem before. And that part was the part that was so disappointing to me. You admitted that this goes on all the time. Like,
and
why
that
would
is
you
the
shoot
smoking
yourself
gun,
in
by
the foot?
Way. That is the smoking gun. There, you know, people have said it's not the smoking gun. That gun might as well be on fire and melting, okay? That is all the circumstantial evidence you need, period.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but I think my favorite part about that, the before it was edited out, was where she like just like, hey, plug in Lenovo right here. Like, that was probably my favorite part.
By the way, that's one angle we should ask your take on that. So, Barry, obviously, yes, the ridiculous sort of like slippery slope argument that the people in TSM fans have tried to make is like, well, why didn't you share this when they were in Team Liquid? It was a way bigger conflict of interest then. Like, why are you saying it's conflict of interest when you deny it's conflict of interest later? I'll never know why people even utter that phrase. In that sense, TSM's nailed it. They just keep not saying it. But put it this way, you obviously represent players in esports. If you knew that situation was going on, I mean, obviously, again, how can we know it? But we would infer it from the relationship happening, at the very least a possibility. What would you think of that if either a player you represented was dating someone who was like owner of another org, or you know that it's like a teammate of his and therefore potentially there's a leak within it? What would you think of this from the agent perspective?
I mean, if it was my client, honestly, I wouldn't care too much personally, because it's a problem until it's not a problem until it becomes a problem, in my opinion.
No problem for you at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, what are you saying? Like, how would I react when it becomes
a problem?
I mean,
in your job, it wouldn't be a problem at that point in time to you. You'd be like, well, we'll maybe cross that when we come to that bridge.
Yeah. I mean, I like to give most of my clients, like, the benefit of doubt that they'll be professional, that they're adults, that they, you know, will do the right thing and make sure, like, you know, like, because it's inevitable, like, because everybody talks to each other regardless of whether they're, like, in a relationship. So information is always swapped around, and people say things around people that shouldn't hear things, quite honestly. But in that specific situation where my client is involved like that, I would honestly not see it as a problem until it became a problem, like it does now.
By the way, that's also obviously where people like me and Monty are in a different position, or you yourself, when you're not representing that client and you're just free to comment on it and someone from a different agency, you yourself might find it an issue. I will just say that, by the way. That's the part I found so ludicrous about the steps that we took before we got to this week, where people were even debating as to whether or not like we should think that this could ever be happening between two people in a literal romantic relationship. Can I just go ahead and do what I like to do on the internet often, which is just pop the ridiculous conceit that, because everyone on the internet is fake. They just present a fake version of themselves that is always, to a fault, way more pious and virtuous than they are in real life. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. If I was in an incredibly close personal relationship with a woman in esports, that's right, could be a woman, how dare you assume. So I obviously, in that scenario, yeah, you know what? I might tell her stuff that was secret in theory. Now, I would personally still not cross a certain line where, for my job, for example, when sources tell me something off the record, I would never tell her in that context. I mean, I would date someone who'd give a fuck about that. That's just me. But there's certainly a world in which I might tell her things about, oh, you know, something's going on in the industry with this person, or, you know, what do you think about what might happen here? You might give that information because you're someone you're on such a close relationship with. It goes without saying, like, I think most people assume that in sports, the guy who's like the coach probably tells some stuff to his wife about like, oh, this player's fucking up again. What's this? Like, of course, that's to be expected. So the very premise that people were acting as though that would never happen just showed me that we were in this ridiculous like public arena where we're all pretending to be this avatar of ourselves that none of us are. Like, what if it, like the idea that this even needed to be proved that it could have been going on. Have you ever met Doublelift and Lena? Do you not know these people? It's not never even heard them talk. It was obvious that they'd have been having these conversations. I can go myself in times past now and talk to people from TSM and they would tell me this shit. They would tell me which player they're going to kick or what they think about pay. Guess what? I haven't been fucking any of them. So that's not even on the table, is it?
And here's the thing. What I said before was that it was bad to set a precedent here. Okay, it has nothing for me. This doesn't have anything to do with the people involved. But if you just look at what happened, for people who don't understand, now we'll get through, you know, going into a deep dive and looking at the posts that were made. But one of the things that Reggie said, and what idiot TSM fans are now taking on, is that they're saying that, oh, because Doublelift knew that Dardoch wouldn't be on the team, it's not a big leak. Of course, Doublelift knew. I'm sure all his teammates. You know, that's a conversation that they have in a team all the time. The important factor is what Doublelift didn't need to know, which is what happens to Dardoch after he is not going to be on the starting roster, because that is privileged business information that has been given to Lena and that Doublelift does not need to know, period, full stop, ever. His need to know is, who is my jungler? Not, what is happening to the jungler that I'm not going to be playing with? And that right there is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, even if the information didn't get leaked, the fact that Lena's having those calls around Doublelift, that itself is the problem.
Think about this. Here's something crazy. Think about this for 2 seconds. Think about this for 2 seconds. What if this was happening, because we know Lena posted and said that they had been doing this previously.
When he was on
Team Liquid. Here's an interesting question for you. Was he in the room while Lena was negotiating his buyout with Steve from Team Liquid?
Yeah.
There's so many questions. There's so many questions, guys. There's so many. And you know what? They're all on the table now, because now we know that this has been happening. We know it's been happening in situations where he shouldn't have information, and we know it's been happening repeatedly. So this is a really serious issue. And the whole thing about Reggie's post saying, well, it's my decision, I'm sure we'll talk more about this later once we get through everything.
Provable lie. Lie, serial lie.
So the problem is that it becomes an issue, not necessarily a legal issue, but how the league decides to handle this. Because factually, damage has now been done from this relationship to a player, Dardoch in this case. And also, they were given the benefit of the doubt that they were not going to be engaging in these conversations in a clear conflict of interest situation, which has now been blown wide open. So they can't be trusted not to do this in the future. And also, it damages the PR of the league itself by making it look like amateur hour and a clown fiesta. And in any
way, just as an aside, one thing I think should be said at the beginning, because it is a common refrain I've heard, and I think it is actually, it might be the worst response I've seen to this Dardock drama particularly, is not like, oh, is it a conflict of interest? Or, you know, like, well, you know, like that information would have got out. The worst response I've seen of all, it's the most heartless and shows pure tribalism, nothing else, is, well, if no one wants him, who gives a fuck anyway? He wasn't going to have a career anyway. Holy shit, that is easily the worst take I've heard.
That is provably wrong. There are teams that wanted
him. Of course. By the way, notice how people start reading minds again. We only heard a fragment of a conversation. When they say no one, I mean, as Lena has already shown, her words cannot be trusted. She will dispute her own words later. We could take from that all sorts of colloquial versions, like nobody of the three teams that Dardock asked for wanted him. There's a million variations of that. So the idea that everyone, that's like some like a zero-sum game where they know exactly what the outcome is and that he never had any options whatsoever. By the way, you think in the entire world, nobody wants Dardock whatsoever. Of course they do. That's a ridiculous premise. I could probably get him three teams right now. Would it be in the LCS? That's the question, right? But there might still be people who want him. And if you know that he can't even get an LCS spot, that alone is the killer for that deal.
There's always at least one team every season that wants exactly. that wants to take a gamble on Dardock.
Yep.
Everybody
we can change
wants
him. We can fix him. We'll be
it's like everybody
one.
Wants to, like, you know, because he's good. Like, he's legitimately a good player.
Dude, think about the NFL or the NBA. He's the equivalent. Listen, don't overreact, everyone. This is called an analogy. That is not the same as saying something is something, hence why I made the analogy. No, he is basically the equivalent of the super talented player in the NBA or the NFL, but who has... could be a drug problem, could be a crime problem, something that keeps them off the court or that keeps drawing them out and getting them into disciplinary action. What happens with those players is you have to really, really mess up on the court as well before they'll totally kick you out of the league. Because as you're saying here, there'll always be some owner, like a guy with like a borderline playoff team, who's like, you know what? I'll deal with that hassle if I actually end up getting the upside of him as a player. This could turn my whole franchise around. And by the way, it has. If anyone doesn't know, that is literally what led to the greatest NFL team of all time, the 2007 Patriots, is that they took a massive gamble on Randy Moss when he was considered literally tainted goods and was mailing it in for the Oakland Raiders. So at that point in time, that was a massive gap. But you can see in that scenario, even the best franchises will sometimes take a gamble on these guys. So again, yeah, exactly, Barry. In fact, the stupid thing is, this actually could have gotten the contract even easier, just because now everyone will be in a feeding frenzy to get him for pennies.
I mean, I think the real question is, like, because what Lena said and that was leaked was that she couldn't find a transfer opportunity for him. So, like, what I take out of that is teams didn't want to buy his contract, but I know there were definitely teams that are interested in picking him up. So, like, there's, I think that's the slight, like, disconnect.
Especially if
there.
People are going to get, like, a Kobe deal, which is getting for free.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, if he ends up, like, they don't want to pay or even, like, pick up his current contract with TSM, and let's say TSM releases him, and then he goes out as a free agent. The fact that, like, you know, having, like, what I said in my tweet is that, like, having it confirmed that nobody wanted him on a transfer, like, you know, other teams would be like, oh, maybe they just wasn't a good deal or something like that. But then if like, you know, nobody wants him is the statement that comes out, then if there's only one team in the running, then they essentially know, like, if they offer like the worst type of contract, like, you know, like a bottom, you know, bottom tier garbage contract, like, and Dardock really wants to play, then he has no choice but to take it. Whereas before, that at least was the uncertainty that maybe another team thinks like us and is willing to pick him up.
Well, talk about too, as an agent, like, part of your job is trying to hide your hand. It's a poker game, right? You're playing and you're trying to hide your cards so that you can bluff. That's part of your job. And now you can't bluff. Everyone sees Dardock's cards now. Dardock's cards are out in the open.
I mean, it's essentially like negotiation. Negotiation is always like that, because even whether you're an agent or even just a player doing it independently, which I think is Dardock's situation, if that's the case, then regardless of like what the situation, the representation situation is, like negotiation, there's always uncertainty that you want to keep on your end so that you need to keep people guessing. You need to bluff a bit so that you're in a better situation. And like, quite frankly, Dardock's situation, like, even without all this happening, wasn't amazing, right? Like, it's not a great position to be in as a player. However, there still was the uncertainty that there was, there could be demand for him from other teams.
And it doesn't matter if...
By the way, just as a joke, again, I'm going to have to use this disclaimer on this podcast, I can tell. The joke would be that the plot twist is, because he is his own agent, he just refers to himself in the third person, and she was actually talking to Dardock at the time, like, look, nobody wants to pick up Dardock. That's not my fault, okay? And then it would have been Dardock as an exit, and then he's like, well, I don't know. I guess y'all are just a bunch of crusty asshole people on the internet playing video games, and I'm out of here. And then he goes, and then on comes the Incredible Hulk music from the 80s. Da-na-na-na. Starts walking down the road, hitching to his next team. Maybe in the next town, they won't be so mean and run me out. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm going
on. I want to go back.
That was all fictional, by the way.
I want to go back to one of the things Monty said regarding the league part, where the league has to take action. League about a week ago already determined there isn't a conflict of interest between.
No, they didn't. Double and... That's not what they discovered.
What did they discover,
Thorin?
Basically, I mean, I publicized this exact confidential summary. By the way, my dick gets literally like 10% harder the second I see confidential on a PDF I'm about to open. So, you know, just a lied in for presence and stuff. So when I open that up, in it, the summary, now here's, you're right, Loco. That is what they heavily implied with the way they phrased it in the public ruling. What they actually said in the summary was that they explicitly did not even consider those two people's relationship as being, as anything to do with a conflict of interest, because they believe that that should be a team issue, nothing to do with the league. They only investigated stuff like just asking Lena, as far as I can tell, I read them between the lines, just asking Lena and Steve and Reggie, like, did you talk to any players directly? No, I didn't. Oh, well, that solves that then. And then, you know, they just did that sort of an investigation. So they explicitly in the summary say they did not consider the relationship. In public, they did make it sound like they'd investigated all of this and found no conflict of interest. But again, they were playing very fast and loose with the semantics on that one.
So now they have to go back and say, we were wrong on this, that there is clear conflict of interest, and this is damaging to players within, and this is damaging
Look, I don't see how the league can't do anything at this point in time, because it's now literally damaged a player. Like, we've crossed that point. Like, we can't go back on that one. That's not a debatable point. It has damaged Dardock, period. So
it's just a really bad look, because like a week ago, as Thorin said, they said this is clear. Like, we're good with this trade.
Yeah,
they made it look like that was their mistake. Wasn't it? Yeah, game over.
Like, they got to go back on that, because they were just straight up wrong, and they should have. This is what I was talking about the whole time, that they should have been able to have Lena recuse herself from this situation.
I also have another take on this as well. Because whenever we're talking about potential outcomes, what would he like to see happen, what should happen, all super loaded terms. So as a result, I'm just going to make this my own opinion. My opinion on it, I seem to be the only one who has this opinion. I'm not forcing anyone to be in a relationship with anyone else. As far as I know, you opt into romantic relationships for the last couple of hundred years in the West. Like, I haven't seen many arranged marriages between people in esports. So I'm going to go ahead and guess Doublelift and Lena chose to be in this relationship, which means Lena opted into this relationship and then, at the very least, was an unlocker in that person being transferred to her organization. At that point in time, there's an obvious choice to be made. Which is more important? Is it your love life and your relationship? Is it your career and your job? If it's the latter, problem solved. End the relationship, continue on with your job. We need never talk about this again. There will be no more conflict of interest at that point in time. We can all move on. Alternatively, here's what I would even suggest. What if this isn't an amazing relationship? What if this is actually the relationship that will endure for the rest of their lives? I sure as hell wouldn't give that up just for the sake of having some, depending on who you're talking to, minor to major influence over the League of Legends division at TSM. You could literally, as Richard Lewis suggested, make it that you just never interact with League of Legends as part of your job. You only work with Rocket League or, as Loco said, the Fortnite team in his video. You could do all the things you're doing elsewhere and just make it so that it's even within your contract. Like, I don't deal with anything to do with League of Legends. So whatever comes through me, that's just separate completely. So in that scenario, I'm not making the person make the choice, but they must make the choice, in my opinion.
The weird thing is, that's what Andy tries to imply, that Lena's day-to-day isn't with the League of Legends team. It's with Fortnite. It's with the other divisions within TSM. But if you go back and check Lena's comments on TSM Reddit and on Discord, she directly contrasts that. She says, I was the first one to bring up the Biofrost idea. I negotiated this player deal. Like, Lena directly contrasts what Andy is saying in his apology. And if you go back,
Ben Spoon literally tweeted that Parth and Lena and not Reggie were part of the Kabe transfer.
That's probably the funniest part about this, by the way, that these responses they're doing aren't like 1 second after it happens. But these people can't even get three of them in a room and sit down and go, right, what are we all going to say? They're just going out there giving like opposite statements. Like the idea that you're going to say something, that I can then use the other person's statement from your org when you're supposed to be on the same team and dispute it and show that you're lying, one, if not both of you. That's the worst possible PR outcome. The stupidest part about all of this to me in terms of behavior is that even the people who are in theory holding your feet to the fire, I keep on sort of going, by the way, next time, here's how you get away with it. And you're like, I'm not going to listen to you and just do it wrong again. Like, we're even telling you how to not get caught doing this stuff.
Here's the other thing is that if, let me just put this out there. If we believe Reginald's statement that she only facilitates the transfers, that she doesn't set the budgets, that she doesn't make roster decisions, riddle me this. Why does she keep being involved then? If she's not making decisions, why don't you have Parth do the business side of things? Why don't you have someone else within your organization? Why does, that also please doesn't, tell me why she has to be the one doing it. Tell me why that
also doesn't at all address the conflict of interest. Like, right, okay, so Lena, let's imagine that Reggie's premise is correct. Lena doesn't actually have power over decision making. Yes. Right, she just knows all the ins and outs of all these deals and literally is being thanked by owners for facilitating deals. So she could still tell Doublelift all that same information, which he absolutely should not know. And indeed, she could tell other people in the industry. So how does that solve the conflict of interest? Again, they don't know what a conflict of interest is.
But here's the thing. That what I'm saying is, like, if she is not critical to this process, then what is the issue with recusing herself? What was the issue with recusing herself
before? Just bad optics to let her be involved in that scenario,
So you're basically saying that she was never critical to this procedure. If I'm to believe what Reginald is saying, she was never critical. So why does she have to be the one doing it? Explain that to me. Why can't Parth do it? Why can't he do it? Why can't anyone at TSM do it?
I think that's the eventual decision that Andy and TSM is going to reach. And I do think Andy is the only one that can fix this. And Andy is in Riot can punish them, but I do think for
Riot can literally
better,
say, look at what they, this is not an equivalent situation, but in the, their most recent ruling on this subject was the Echo Fox ruling. And the Echo Fox ruling was, you do not get to have this person as part of your ownership. That is something that in the franchising that Riot can dictate, just like in any sports league, they can control ownership, even if you don't do something that's illegal. What happened with Echo Fox was not illegal. It was just disgusting and brought shame to the league.
Riot can fix it in that way, but internally for TSM, I think the way Andy fixes this is exactly what you said. Lena is no longer going to be part of the League of Legends division.
It had to happen before. See, the problem, though, is that had to happen before because now the shit has hit the fan and now somebody has actually been hurt by this situation.
It was better if it happened before, but it better happened now than... I mean, it can't continue.
Not
like
enough
this.
And put it out there.
I think that is the decision they're going to reach, where Lena is no longer going to be involved with the League of Legends part. At least publicly, they have to say that to make sure then, there's no conflict of interest that way. She's responsible for Fortnite, all the other divisions. But anything that has to do with Doublelift, anything that has to do with League of Legends, she is no longer a decision maker on, and she no longer has say on.
So I think the thing that needs to be clarified here, too, is that, like, I see a lot of comments on people saying that, what was done wrong legally, right? Like, what is illegal in all of this situation? And I think, like, it needs to be cleared up. Like, I don't think there's anything necessarily illegal. There was probably a breach of, like, you know, breach in
NDA, startups, for example.
NDA breach. But, like, that's probably it.
And maybe tortious interference, but that would be a lawyer matter to argue. Probably,
I don't think it's a tortious interference.
Proving damages in this situation is extremely difficult legally.
It's impossible. It's nearly impossible because then you'd have to, like, it's because it's going to be based on speculation, right?
You'd need to basically have a team say, yes, I would have paid $200,000 for Dardock, but after hearing that, I would have only offered $100,000. Therefore, you've got $100,000.
There needs to have been an offer in front of Dardock.
Yeah,
and
there
then
we go.
Right, there we go. Okay. That's the only way you would prove that. But even then, it's like nothing illegal happened here. It's just like it's just a bad set of actions that led to a player's negotiating position being compromised. Really, that's what it is at the core of it. And because like, and all this, and I think the issue is that because this stemmed from an arrangement that no one has seen, right? Like, someone, executive at a team is taking calls when somebody is on stream where they can, like, when their voice can leak through. And then apparently, admittedly, like, they've done this already. So, and it wasn't a problem because there was, like, the voice gating stuff. So, like, it's just a bizarre situation all around, but nothing is illegal. Like, I think that's the thing that people need to really get in their heads. It's like, yes, there's a civil recourse, maybe, but probably not. But, like, nothing is outright illegal here.
I can already tell, though, like, that people are going to jump to what is always the wackest angle of all time. Like, well, if nothing illegal, then it's fine. It's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Because, for example, like, many poaching rules wouldn't apply if we were going based on the law.
Echo Fox thing.
There's a lot of things. Obviously, the Echo Fox wing. I mean, why would that be illegal? Like, I mean,
most people go without being illegal.
Of course, yeah. And things can just be immoral. Like, the law covers many things and allows many things in a secular society that many people in that society, in the case of certain religious taboos, would consider literally, like, completely immoral and would absolutely decry. So this, to me, that's why I like the abstract angle of what sort of a league do we want in League of Legends? What should the LCS be? What should it aspire to be? Not what will they literally point a gun at you and tell you to get in a cage for if you do wrong. Like, that's got to be the lowest possible standard we could ever meet as, like, an actual community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take some time to go through these actual statements, because I think we need to talk about, like, what Lena and Reggie said afterwards. Not the post by Lena where, I mean, people know that she admitted basically that this was an ongoing issue, that they had done it before. This was clearly happening all the time. Also, by the way, really, your pity party that you had 3 weeks ago where you're trying to play the victim and you're going out there and pretending people are being mean to you and then going on the offline TV podcast and you're doing this the whole time? Seriously? I mean, the whole thing about this is, you know, these people we've seen over the years are liars. Like, they will be aggressive and they will lie about you publicly. They lied about me and my coaching. They've lied about Thorin. They lied about him recently, saying it was, like, fake news. They don't understand. These are people who have been so insulated from repercussions to their actions that it is absurd. They are living in some sort of fantasy right now where they think that they can just do anything and it doesn't matter who gets hurt as long as they're okay. And personally, like, it just needs to end. It has to end, guys. You shouldn't be supporting people like this. We need people who are actually have ethical integrity in this space. And this is why it's an important issue, because even if nothing technically illegal has happened, it says a lot about how we behave as an industry. And that's why it's important. And that's why I've been talking about it.
I've had a lot of, like, discussions with, like, female colleagues, like, people, like, staff, like, female staffers on different teams. And then they're all, like, there's a big concern that this is, like, a step back for women in esports, right? Because somebody that's so high profile is just not behaving up to standard.
Might even be, like, the first female president. I'm not sure. I think might even be the first person who ever had that title.
Yeah, and, like,
I actually wouldn't know about that. But, like, regardless, like, there's a lot of concern from people
that's,
like,
justified
about it. Like,
and the whole sexism thing is fucked up, and people shouldn't be doing that. Period.
Let's not run with that as the 24/7 smokescreen to put all of the criticism behind, like people have constantly done. So basically, what people did when they constantly brought that angle up is imply that I'm going to value random tweets from anyone with access to the internet over, like, established figures, where in my case, I've often said it online, I'd challenge anyone to dispute it. I have never told something that I was aware was a lie in 20 years on the internet. I have posted thousands of posts. I have posted thousands of videos. I have been on tens of thousands of hours of broadcasts. Go and find a single instance. And I'm not talking about, I say frogging is really good and you think that is not the case. That is not a lie. That is not what a lie means. It means that the intention you had was to deceive and say something that is untrue based on your knowledge. I've never done it. So the idea that people are going to attack people like me and then sweep us under the same rug as people who are just like, you only got that position because you are having sex. No, that is completely, absolutely, it's a weak move. And even worse, I think it belies what your real tactics are, which is that you just don't want people looking at what's going on the left hand, so you distract them with the right hand.
Yes. But the people who are doing that, not cool. We do have to make it explicit, however, in this scenario. Let's talk about Lena's post, which I brought up right now. I'd like to make an apology to our community and to Dardock over my lapse of judgment on handling an important call next to a live stream. No, you already don't understand the problem. The problem is you are discussing confidential information with your employee that is not privileged to this information next to you. Not that it got out into the public.
I'm sorry I got caught. Exactly. And here's why I hope it doesn't happen again.
No one wants their private information leaked. And it's not fair to Dardock that this happened. You're right. At the end of the day, no one feels worse about this situation than I do.
Oh, God.
I can't.
Here's the thing. I need to know that she doesn't really mean that. Like, I actually don't think, even if she was being incredibly, like, introverted and narcissistic in the moment, I think that generally is one of those macros. Like, as a writer, I always say this to new writers. Don't ever use cliches if possible. Because what happens is when, as Christopher Hitchens said this, it was a great line. When you start writing a cliche, it's like you didn't write the sentence. You just copied someone else's. And next thing you know, you didn't write half the article. So find a way to put it in your words. Because again, that's just something that someone glibly just drapes off. And they don't even stop to think what it means. Like, I don't think she genuinely believes she's being hurt more by this than Dardock. I think that was just an example of, again, misspeaking and not thinking about what you're saying as much.
And it's already difficult enough to be a TSM fan in these trying times. Lena, these trying times. Wow. These trying times are directly a result of your actions. Those are the trying. You are creating the trying times.
Trying when TSM and Lena keeps inting the reputation of the team constantly into the Fed carries of Monty and Thorin. And I'm playing like for Ezreal, mate. You can't even get on me. I'm just waiting on the back line.
This is some like Marie Antoinette level shit of like, you are the problem, but you're apologizing and basically saying, let them eat cake, and then wondering why Robespierre is charging down your castle and taking your head. Is that a mystery? Is that a mystery, guys?
As someone that's been in a lot of controversies and had to do a lot of apology statements, like you do your first draft, and then you send it over to a PR person, and then they tell you, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and they send it back, and then you see what they sent back and you're like, can I say this? Can I say that? And then they'll tell you, and then you get it sent back and then you post it. It feels
like you don't even need a dedicated PR person. You just need like somebody that's not in your echo chamber, really, is the thing. It's like, hey, does this scan with you? Like, you know,
who looked over this? And then second of all,
it could have been from internally from TSM. That's why I said it should be somebody that's like not involved. Like,
yeah, but that's the problem. If you look at Reginald's statement, it looks like they didn't coordinate at all. I'm not going to joke right now. Genuinely, the person she should have sent this statement to was Local Doko. He actually unilaterally defended Lena, TSM generally. He wants them not to get in trouble. He doesn't want them to get caught for this stuff. I think Local could actually have literally told her, remove this part. Like if you say that, people are going to get... He would have the perspective to actually know what fans would think about this. That's a good example of someone who's in your social group, but they're not so close to you that they're going to be blinded by the issue.
I mean, why don't they literally have a PR firm on retainer, though? That's the real question.
There's like a PR firm called The Story Mob. Yes. Nicola, she's the former PR person for Riot. I think they work with TL, they work with G2. They help like turn around like Oslef's brand from being like really snarky to like lovable, but like hated. Like she does much great work. And I would have sent it to Nicola immediately if I was in this situation.
So this is another just point that there are no functional professional protocols within this company. They literally don't know how to be a professional company, which is, I mean, it's been evident for years, but you guys are starting to see more and more of it. The nice thing about this for us is that This is finally all of the proof of everything we've ever said about TSM coming out all at the same time. It's actually glorious.
Shall I give everyone a little spoiler, by the way? Sometimes there's the information we have that we can't say because of our ethical standards.
Yes.
So the idea that we're just imagining this, no. Some of these things are things that were known. It's just we never had these people nailed bang to rights. We never had them on record. We never had them admitting it themselves. Sometimes inadvertently, even at the end, they don't know they're admitting it. So that's the difference. It's like half the time when people make comments about actually the game and the scene. If you knew how many people are hooked into the scene in a way no fan will ever be, and they're not really commenting like, I don't know if he'll work out in this team, which means like his team has just told him, like, yeah, we're going to kick him at the end of the month. Like, you can't say these things, so you have to mask them with your opinion, and they just inform you. thing. So the idea, another complete corp, like, I don't know if you know that term, where like politically people just have corp, where like if their candidate gets something said against them, this is just their way of arguing, like, no, it's fine in my mind that he's done exactly what I said I'd never support, but that's fine because and so what you do is, right, you have an angle that you corp from. So the corp here is like, can you believe this? Now that they've done exactly what Monty and Thorin said, people are going to think that they actually were right and knew that that's what was going on. How unlucky can we get? It's like, you guys haven't been following the story at all. Think it through. How many times can people get lucky?
Dude, every statement just makes everything worse. Like Lena's initial leak and then Lena's apology and then Andy's tweet longer. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Like,
that's because these people don't live in the real world, Loco. They've never had to account for anything in their lives.
They might not have to still, technically. It's only bad PR at the moment.
On the back end, since the end of our spring split playoff runs, we've been working with Dardoch on the possibility of him splitting time or moving to Academy. However, he expressed interest in joining another team for a full-time starting spot. Okay. Over the last month, we put our best efforts to finding him a new team, and he has been aware of all the conversations that happen along the way with other teams. I would hope you include him. That's the bare minimum you could do. It has never been my intention, nor have I ever tried to drag a player publicly. Again, you literally are not understanding what you did.
That was also a provable lie. Someone found a Twitch comment where she literally basically like besmirched a player called Exute and one called like Afir or something. So two players like that that she basically like wrecked in exactly that fashion that she just implied she didn't, but okay.
TSM and I have always tried our best to help our players in positions of success, even after their tenure with us, while taking on monetary losses. Well, you guaranteed you're going to take yourself a monetary loss here, because the problem for TSM that we haven't even discussed. Now, TSM is also losing money as a result of these actions on any potential player buyouts by tanking their own contracted players' value. So you're hurting yourself here, too. And at the end of the day, this mistake is 100% my fault, and I wish the best for Josh despite everything that happened today. It doesn't matter if you wish the best for Josh. You already wrecked Josh. You wrecked Josh.
Sorry. We're sorry. Sorry.
It's a South Park clip.
Sorry, it felt like, didn't it?
Poor Josh.
Is it just like TSM, like executive staff just lying down on a fur, like, you know, fur carpet in front of a fireplace saying that they're sorry?
I love it. I love it. Shall we go into Reggie's statement now?
Sure.
Hi, all. I've noticed a lot of criticism recently surrounding TSM from fans, journalists, and even peers, and it is valid. So I wanted to take time to address some of these points and also provide a short update. Dardoch situation. I want to personally apologize to our community for how we've managed the communication of Dardoch's transfer. My goal has always been about setting a good example for other esports organizations on how to treat players, where we balance... I mean, I've seen Game Cribs, Reggie. I've seen how you treat players.
That's also, maybe check out Summoning Insight episode 1 of season 2, where Sven literally says he wanted to leave. He asked to leave after a whole year of service. They refused and forced him to play in TSM for another year. So that whole story, which Loco Doco has been the primary proponent of, that TSM are the best guys ever when you want to leave the org, is actually factually untrue on at least two occasions now.
On my personal experience, like working with TSM and then exiting TSM for also Dyrus and for Lustboy, when there was potentially timings that he was going to leave, it has been good. And I spoke from my personal experience, and I spoke from people that I know that have been treated well. So
fair.
I don't think I lied. I think there's been instances where...
I'm saying that is a narrative you've heavily built up in the community.
Definitely. And it is still factual to my perspective. They can't always treat players well, but in generality, TSM has always...
Why can't they?
I
guess...
I mean, no, they can always treat players well, but like it's like situations don't always work out. Situations don't always work out.
Hence why you don't over-egg the pudding and make it like they're the best guys ever and they're just taking money out of their pocket. Like, you know what? And start a business, buy a plot of land while you're... like. Don't listen, we understand select people. By the way, I can already go ahead and tell you off the top of my head the speculation as to why these different groups of people were treated differently. One set were incredibly loyal people who they liked for many years. The other set were the people they didn't particularly like as players and wanted out. Like, there's an obvious distinction there. That's why I'm just saying, don't make it like they're always the best guys ever. That doesn't change. Like, I can help 9 out of 10 people. If I beat the other one up and nick his money, I'm still a thief.
Sure.
All right. In this case, we did not live up to those standards. We will reflect on our mistakes and make the necessary changes to prevent this from happening again. Hopes and prayers, everybody. Hopes and prayers for TSM.
Ooh, reflections part two in there.
One like equals one prayer.
I've reached out to Josh to apologize personally, and TSM will be taking action to make sure he feels good about this situation and lands on his feet. Dardock and I discussed the unfortunate situation, and we both feel better about how things will proceed in the future. Notice how we haven't heard any comments from Dardock. Now, I don't think legally he should say anything, because if he admits that they tanked his value, then the lawsuit probably has a better chance of succeeding, right, Barry?
I don't know. Like, it depends on the contract.
Sure.
Like, because it's an NDA breach, and then, like, but the thing is, like, does the NDA go both ways in his contract? Like, because sometimes they don't. So... yeah.
Well, with this wonderful TSM organization that takes care of all their players and goes to all these lengths, I mean, surely they would probably build something like that in, right, Barry?
So. Who knows, man? Like, some of these team contracts are hilarious.
Yeah, people should probably get to know, you know, before they make bold statements about these sorts of matters. You know, it could come back to bite them in the end. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah.
Double Lift and Lena. Going into the offseason, we had no plans of signing Double Lift, and I was not aware that he would be a free agent.
I probably just saw it in the tea leaves one day and was like, oh, it's weird. Should sign Double Lift. That's weird because he just happens to be... Oh, no, actually, he isn't. Sorry.
I don't think Double Lift was ever a free agent, though.
He wasn't. He wasn't. He was under contract.
No, he was not. Available. That's also just a lie, so...
Yeah. I mean, maybe...
Telling lies is just literally par for the course with people who get away with telling lies for an obvious reason. They get away with it all the time.
So as soon as Steve Arnset brought to my attention that Double Lift was available, I made the decision to sign him, knowing full well that he was in a relationship with Lena Zhu, our president of esports. My reasoning behind this decision was simple. I thought that Double Lift was the best candidate for his position. TSM had the most success with Double Lift on our roster, and our players and coaches and analysts unanimously approached me to sign Double Lift. TSM has not lived up to our expectation over the last 2 years. I owe it to our fans and Bjergsen, I don't know why specifically Bjergsen, to build the best possible roster.
Because
okay, this all checks out.
The part owner, yeah,
it all checks out. I believe everything that's in there. Possible conflict of interest with Double Lift and Lena. Again, we started the show with this. It's not possible. It is a conflict of interest. Please learn what a conflict of interest is. That is not a debatable point. Period. By anyone any longer. To be clear, most of Lena's day-to-day responsibility is the TSM expansion into various game titles, Fortnite, Smash, PUBG, Apex, WoW, Hearthstone, etc. She has no decision-making power over our LCS roster, players, or salaries, despite the fact that Ben Spoon and Misfits just thanked her and Parth. So
Lena
again,
also admitted that she does the negotiations, talks to the players, and talks to the agents. Like, oh my god, they did not coordinate at all.
So,
Lena,
yeah,
you know when people will obviously then just say local. Well, that, you know, for example, one of the Reddit
business operation.
Yeah, one of the Reddit posts was from a year ago. Blah blah blah. By the way, we aren't the ones who need to be specific about this.
Yes.
It's the people
they
who
need
are.
To, they need to clarify all of this.
Shit. So Reginald, if that was the case, could easily just add in that sentence and say at least from 6 months ago. What he is trying to do is, even if it was actually the case that I gave him the benefit of the doubt and it was only from a few months ago, which, by the way, would make a hell of a case if he just stated it now, but he didn't, so I'm going to assume that seems unlikely. You would, in that scenario, the reason you wouldn't say, but a year ago, she did have decision-making power is because it undercuts your premise that she never had decision-making power, which you heavily are implying. So when, in her own words, on numerous different occasions, she says she does have the power to negotiate these deals, to be involved, then it just makes it again so that not only are you lying immediately, but even the details seem like, at best, you're using the lie of omission. That's the best-case scenario in reading of that interpretation.
Right, and it said all roster decisions of budgeting are made by our general manager, Parth Naidu, and myself. So again, if this is true, why couldn't she recuse herself previously? You are an organization valued in the hundreds of millions of dollars. You can literally hire another employee specifically to take this part of Lena's job off her plate. There is no reason that Lena has to do this personally if she's already not involved. So pick, which one is it? Is she necessary to the construction of this roster? Is she? Was she involved in these deals? Ben Spoon says yes, 2 days ago, when Kabe left. Or can you offload these responsibilities? One of these things must be true. Each and every business has different policies surrounding these matters. For me at that time, I thought there was enough, and there still is enough. I'm sorry, there isn't. distance surrounding their working relationship that I am comfortable with their roles as the majority shareholder of Swift. I assume Swift is the parent company of TSM.
That was straight fire, just in as much as Reginald didn't even understand how his metaphor didn't even work on a literal basis, where he was like, I think there's enough distance. They're too close in the same room, Reginald, in real life. Like, not even, we don't even need to be in the metaphorical world. They literally are too close. Like, we have evidence and everything, mate.
Wait, this wording is weird. Their roles as the majority shareholder, so... Is Doublelift the shareholder? What?
No, I think no, as the majority shareholder of... I think he's talking about himself.
He means I own majority and I feel like there's enough distance. Yeah. I think that's what he means.
Yeah. But I mean, clearly this guy doesn't even understand basic firewalls that are in place. Like, there's no situation anyone in the universe who runs a company doesn't think that the president of the company, if they're in a relationship with employees, should be taking business calls in that room. That Reggie is the only person on planet Earth who thinks that's okay.
Dude, I think it's just a really big blind spot for Andy. Lena is his ex-girlfriend. Lena is the current president. Doublelift is the player that he kicked and is also coming back. And he also believes is the best player for the role. So if this isn't Doublelift, if this isn't Lena, I think Andy makes a very different decision. But it's a blind spot due to the personal relationship with both Double and Lena.
But this is why the LCS has to step in, because they have proven that they cannot handle the situation in a professional manner, which is necessary for the good of the LCS and the public perception of the league. Like, this is embarrassing. This is not going to stop here. People don't understand. This is massive. Like, this is such a shit show. Anyway, both Lena and Peter are also the very best candidates for their positions. I humbly disagree. In my opinion, as the leader of this organization, there is no financial benefit or working benefit from their relationship. There literally is, especially for Doublelift, who will now get preferential treatment within this roster. So there is, I would argue...
You're getting equity.
Yep. So, yes, I would say that.
That could potentially be worth tens of millions of dollars one day.
Is Doublelift privy to confidential information? Dardock's position change is not privileged information within our company. Every LCS player and esports manager at TSM knows of this change. The roster change was made by Parth and our coaching staff and the players of our last season's LCS roster.
Notice what he did there, by the way. He again tried to conflate knowing the private informations of the negotiation with just knowing that Dardock's going to be leaving the team. He purposely, willfully tried to conflate those two to a fan's mind as to though everyone knew within the org. Well, that's not the point, is it? Everyone in the org couldn't hear that private conversation. Everyone doesn't know whether teams want Dardock. That's not the case whatsoever. Yes. Also, I noticed Reginald's like super low-level tactic for distracting you is this. He just asks all incriminating statements as a question and then never addresses it. He goes, is it possible that there's a conflict of interest? Yeah, could it be the case that it's like, you can say it a million times, mate. These are facts. Like, we don't need to dispute these aspects. You have to make all clear.
Wait. Here's another one. So immediately, I don't know if you guys have seen this, I'll tweet it out afterwards. Immediately after the call about Dardock happened, they tried to destroy the evidence. So they deleted the Twitch clip, they deleted the VOD. Doublelift starts streaming again, okay? As soon as he starts streaming,
and it's
Lena
amazing.
In the background asks, is the VOD deleted? Okay? Doublelift says yes. And then what happens is you can clearly hear her in the background saying, we need to tell Dunk. Now, Dunk is TSM's social media manager, and she starts talking about listing 20 team captains for an Apex event that I assume TSM is running. So she immediately starts talking about a future business event, a tournament, I assume, in Apex Legends that TSM is running while in the same room immediately after that VOD has been deleted. So, yes, players on the teams, they don't know that these tournaments are happening. There's no reason for Doublelift to know that TSM is participating in or running or operating an Apex Legends tournament.
What was your pushback going to be, Barry? What were you going to say, man?
Oh, no, it wasn't really pushback. It was just the question is Doublelift privy to confidential information? And then the answer is the position change is not privileged information. Not that he's privy to it in general. So, like, it doesn't answer the question, actually, if you think about it.
There's also a difference between Doublelift being allowed to know the information and just the conversations about that, like, being had like that. If he's going to get delivered the information, it shouldn't be as like a third party. It should be like direct, not like you can just openly talk about whatever's going on around them like that.
I'd even say, and I never brought this up in my video because it's such a side point. I tried to stick to the big, big picture points. I'd even say in that scenario, like I would consider it professionally unethical / unprofessional for someone to have a conversation like that and not literally at the beginning, as a disclaimer, say, by the way, Dobolith's literally sat like 4 feet away. And in theory, he's streaming right now. I don't think he can hear us, but he might pick up some of what we've talked. Like if you're having an internal conversation, like you don't have to, obviously there's no legal requirement, but I would just say, ask someone within a company, like I wouldn't want to say certain things if I knew that someone was also in the room who that might even affect. Like if we're talking roster things, that could have a massive impact. I would just say that's not really the greatest move just as optics for a president.
Okay. Does Lena decide on players?
I'm not laughing so far. Let's get,
Sorry, I was doing you, where you just give me stony silence after jokes. Does Lena decide on players on our LCS roster? No. Parth and I decide on the roster with feedback from the players, analysts, and coaches.
At this point in time, whoever does decide the TSM roster, as far as I can tell, is some sort of a quantum superstate principle where simultaneously everyone, nobody, and each person individually on their own and collectively all decide or do not decide depending on the incriminating circumstances. Exactly. Schrodinger's agent or something.
Andy's comment here should have been, Lena has input, but she is not the final decision maker. Parth and Andy are the final decision makers, but Lena has input. Like that should have been the comment, not like Lena doesn't have any kind of input or Lena doesn't decide at all, because it's disingenuous to what Lena said before.
Well, it's also, she literally says it's not my fault in regards to the Dardoch situation, which means it implies that she has a level of agency over this situation. Otherwise, how could it be her fault? Why would she even have to say
fair,
that?
She is logically consistent in that she doesn't accept any blame or responsibility, even in private conversations, apparently. So at least she didn't have...
Maybe she didn't have agency, but she was assumed to have agency internally at TSM, right?
True.
Because if she's defending herself in that statement. So,
Loco Doco, I call you to the stand. You literally have, I won't say grifted or anything dodgy like that. You've just essentially benefited as part of your content creation on knowing some of these people personally, sometimes even knowing the dealings of these people. Mm-hmm. You worked for them. You know them as friends. Is it your... How would you say this, Barry? Is it your perspective? Would it be your opinion? I put it to you that Lena is involved. She can have power in these statements. She is directly involved in some of these negotiations. What would your response be?
I plead the fifth, Your Honor. Okay. My experience while working, Lena definitely did have input, and even in like personally when we worked, like Lena did have input, but ultimately Andy made the decisions and I would understand that's how it goes. Like Andy and Parth makes the decisions, but other people can have input. But I would say Lena does not have the ultimate final say. Lena isn't the one saying Dardoch in or Dardoch out. Lena gets like a vote or like a say in it. Like Lena can say, I think Dardoch is good for the team. I think Dardoch is bad for the team.
By the way, one thing that I found very funny about this scenario is that Reginald himself just spent the last 2 years saying how he's distancing himself from the team. He's not getting involved in that stuff directly. So, by the way, that's not at all true from what I've heard. I've heard he is still right up in those motherfucking rooms. He's still having like arguments with people if the things are going badly. Like a lot of those past trends, they've just reasserted themselves. So like that, I don't know why he would then himself years later make this case, because he's the one who built the hype that he's not involved. That's why I would have assumed Lena was involved, because that's what I've been told constantly, publicly,
yes.
By the org.
Yes, that's true. Lena as an executive. I mean, here's the... I noticed several hateful comments toward her. I agree her management of Josh's situation was very disappointing, and I believe the critical feedback specific to the situation was warranted, and I shared this with her as the CEO of this team. So, again, this isn't a private issue. You need to draw lines here around her position, because if you are an executive, you are responsible and must take responsibility, period. Like, and it's already been breached, so you can't just be like, well, you'll do better next time. Like, you have investors and a board. Like, you can't just allow this to continue to happen.
Well, so what about Renewal?
Well, it depends on whether the investors and board, like, hold them responsible for it, though. If the investment board don't care, they don't, like, it's not a problem.
I find that difficult to believe, Barry.
Just giving a perspective here.
Yep.
I'm going to guess, like, come on, it's probably not plausible that all of them don't care, though, right? Some of them probably care to some degree. I would suggest a bunch of them care a lot, by the way. Like, if I put it this way, I'll tell you right now, this is not a threat. This is just literally a statement of fact, is maybe they wouldn't care in this current scenario. Maybe they don't read Reddit. Maybe the story will disappear in a day or two. This is the sort of thing, though, that people who are enemies of TSM, they could strike a lot of damage just by directly taking this information to certain high people, people who have a financial interest, people who don't follow the esports world, and people who would trust individuals who have a proven track record. I'm not saying that's something I'm going to do. That's not really my world in that regard. I don't really try to get involved in the business side of things, but that's where that would really come back to bite you.
Andy thinks of investors and sponsors very, very heavily. And like one thing that he mentioned regarding like his behavior change and how he wants to do things differently was as we took on like bigger sponsors, was as we prepared to take on investors. Like that's where Andy talked about all the importance of it. So it's not something that's just going to fly by
him. He's like, seen so many like investment deals and like all these other deals get tanked because owners and representatives have been extremely unprofessional.
So like, so here's the thing. Why even if you are in that scenario, why even take the risk? Why even what is the benefit you have?
It's a blind spot for Andy. I think Andy makes a lot of great decisions, but when it's so personal to him because of Lena and because of Double Lift, it's incredibly hard for him to see things clearly.
But like, I mean, this is not a good business decision. This is a super easy business decision just to remove her from League of Legends. Like, that's not even a debate. Like, why not just do it?
I think it comes down to trust, right? Because, like, when a lot of these – because TSM and a lot of esports teams are pretty much run like startups. They are startups, in my opinion. Like, in startups, the big thing you need to have is you need to have partners and other people on the ownership, on the executive board that you trust. So, like – you know, regardless of like the conflict image or whatever, like she obviously trusts her to get things done in a way that he finds satisfactory. Or so like, I think I'm less like I have less of a problem with like the fact that she's there. And like, you know, what I have a problem with is that like, it's just the whole situation with Double Lift being in the same room while he's on stream. Like, I don't even think like, you know, them being on her taking calls in the same room is that much of a problem personally. The problem is that she's taking these calls when he's on stream too. Like, that's where I draw the line, because that is like, even if you have
some unacceptable risk, isn't it? Like the chance that any of it gets through.
I mean, yeah, just like the, even with the voice gating,
we even saw
the, is so strong.
The clip days earlier where he says, Double Lift says they can hear you on stream. Are you talking about anything confidential?
Also proof she lied when she said that this PC had just
like
been set up.
He checked with her days in advance, and then it still happened.
Yeah. And it's, like, the risk is just so unnecessary. Like, they can easily get a separate bedroom for this. Like, they can have computer stations in two different rooms. They can close the door. Like, it's just, why?
Also, that's the other thing, right? Here's the thing. Maybe Double Lift, I don't know the layout of their house. Maybe that is the only good spot to stream from, with good lighting and you can get all the power ports. The mobile phone in the modern day, you can go anywhere in the house. You can be in the attic talking on that. You could be behind a door with a hairdryer on. You could do any level of precautions you want. Like, this whole angle of like, it's because they're trapped in the cause of the coronavirus. That's not true. That's just absolutely implausible. You could literally go and get an area in your house where you have three rooms, Double Lift's in one. There's a room between that has music playing in. And then the third room, Lena's in that room with the mobile phone doing, I don't know why I'm saying mobile phone, like a boomer, just a phone. In the modern day, it's just a phone, right? You all don't have them carded ones. Just talk of that, isn't it? Like, problem solved.
I mean, and it's,
we're not plotting a bank heist here. Just gotta make a call without someone hearing you.
And it's not about whether Reggie is comfortable with this situation or not, because he has investors and he has a board. So it's about whether everyone is comfortable with this relationship, because it is now damaging the brand and it is potentially affecting the competitive outcome of the team, which damages their way to make money.
Yeah, like, I've got a question.
This is unquestionably a damage to TSM, a damage to their investment, period. It is.
Here's the thing, Barry. So far, you've done a brilliant job taking the lawyer's perspective, which just involves never giving any concrete answers, because that's the nature of the law. It can be argued. Everything's semantics, of course. But the problem with that is you're also doing a terrible advertisement for lawyers, because everyone thinks right now that you just go, fuck the fucker. If you pay more, then maybe you win. Maybe it is legal. Like, you know. So I would ask you this, Barry. I want to invoke a term called fiduciary responsibility. Now, listen, as far as I know,
probably better way.
Oh, there we go. As far as I know, TSM is not a public company. So it's very different from, like, for example, Origin and Astralis, which is actually a publicly floated company. And as a result, they literally are not allowed to withhold certain information from their stockholders, etc. But I would ask, in this case, when you are representing a company with investors and this sort of angle, do you actually have any kind of fiduciary duty in this regard to make sure things like this don't happen? How would that, where would that sit? I genuinely want to know.
Depends on their articles of corporation. It depends on how the company's set up.
Do you have any sense for in esports how these things tend to be?
I mean, generally speaking, when you set up a corporation, you have people that have ownership of your company and whatnot, then like you will always have fiduciary duties to like the people who like you will always have fiduciary duties to your creditors. You'll have fiduciary duties to your clients. It just depends on how everything is set up. And with is it safe to assume that, that they have a strong fiduciary duty to their investors and their shareholders and owners that they will do things that don't damage the brand or damage the financial standing of the brand? Then probably I would say that they have some sort of duty to it. The specific nature of it depends on how their company is structured. So yes, I guess is my answer to you, like the short answer.
Just as a general guess, it's a trend. But obviously, none of us have seen the actual documents, so we can't really give any concrete statements on this. What were you going to say, Local?
When you guys mentioned shareholders and board of investors, wasn't one of Andy's points in the tweet longer that he ultimately gets to make the decision because he's the major shareholder, so he doesn't have to answer to those people? That
the chairman's CEO.
Yeah, that he can make the decision by himself.
I mean, again, that might be true specifically for TSM, but that's not true if LCS comes and does something. Like he is not fully in control of the situation because the LCS decides how his team participates in their league. So the LCS can absolutely say that Lena cannot be a part of their League of Legends division anymore. That is, and he can say, well, she is, and they'll be like, okay, you can't play in LCS, period, goodbye.
I mean, it's basically what happened to Monty and Renegades, where not the end part, obviously, but years before that, I think it was about a year before, LCS just made the ruling that Renegades could still be an LCS team. They could still be a team trying to qualify to LCS. It's just that Chris Powell directly could not be listed as the owner. So there's an example of it, because Monty didn't kick him out the org. Monty at the time said, right, you have to be involved in listing Reginald with everything except the League of Legends team.
No. That's not what happened. Whatever. That's not what happened. So... And I do, for the record, regret this decision. What happened is that he couldn't have an ownership stake in the company, but he could be the CEO of the company. I listed him as the CEO, and Riot approved him as the CEO of the company, and they knew that he was the CEO and involved with the League of Legends team. But that was all cleared. If you look at my video, I show you the documents I submitted where it literally says his name under CEO. So there were no shenanigans there. Now, should I have done that? No. But I did clear that with the league before it happened.
Okay.
But yes, they absolutely knew that he was involved. He just couldn't be an owner, and he wasn't. So there's a bunch of stuff Reggie said that I'm not going to read out here about what she's done in the past, helping build up the organization. Okay.
Would be irrelevant to now anyway, but
yeah,
I guess
it has no relevance.
The case that, she's made it on her own.
Establishes that he trusts her. That's okay.
Really, yeah. It also establishes all the people saying Lena only got the job because she was Andy's girlfriend. Was Andy's girlfriend, but she did so much things beyond just being his girlfriend. Like, that's why she's the president.
Yeah, but all he's doing is destroying these plebs who are attacking her for the wrong reasons.
I haven't seen anyone credible make that comment. Yeah. I haven't even seen it as a joke in most cases. Yeah. And by the way, you are absolutely allowed to joke about things you don't mean. That is actually part of the nature of jokes. That's what makes them funny. You're just joking. But I would even say, I have been amazed by how much actually the community, as crazy as it might sound, has been mature in that respect.
Yes.
There's plenty of people who don't like TSM who could have gone straight to that angle all the time. And guess what? You wouldn't be getting them on any legal grounds either. You could absolutely, you couldn't do shit about it. But I've noticed most people have gone out of their way not to address that, which is why the idea this takes up a quarter of the post is there's a reason why you're talking about certain things and not other things, Reginald. Enough said.
And then he talks about the old video that came up and apologizes for it, which I mean, you can talk about it, Thorin.
When you consider he didn't bother to address it when the video actually came out, he addressed it while trying to address something else that TSM fucked up about. So if he'd have actually been sincere, he could have A, deleted it any time in the last 8 years, or B, he could have addressed this with a similar tweet longer, just the end part, immediately after it happened, so that he could let his fans and his community know that he doesn't think that way anymore. He doesn't agree with those statements. He didn't. What he did was he was willing to apparently just let it lie forever, never address it. So he obviously doesn't give a fuck, and his apology is insincere. And then he just brought it up when it's quite an obvious move that, well, if I bring something else up myself, someone might bring that up against me. So we'll address it all in one fell swoop, shall we? But that essentially means without me on both accounts, you would probably have never heard about this from Reginald.
Slight tangent, but I think it goes back to like kind of the professionalism of it. Like, why is this on a twit longer and not on their website?
Thank you.
Like, they have a website that they make statements on, so why not make the state, like, it should, it's a statement that should go up on their website and just be there.
Do you want a sinister take? This is just pure speculation.
I have an idea of why it's
here's the sinister take, is because guess what? I don't think the twit longer gets archived the same way on the internet. I don't think it's accessed to SEO the same way. I think basically twit longer is brilliant for being like a tweet. It appears, it goes through the esports digestive system, it pops out the other end, and it's gone. If you post that on your website, that's going to instantly go into millions of websites and portals around the world. That might even start going up on news feeds. All of a sudden, people who are investors and people who are outside of esports might find out what's going on. TSM has to admit the... That's just a speculation, pure speculation, but I would say I don't think it's implausible.
The other reason is because if they do it this way, they can brush it off as a non-serious issue to their investors and their sponsors. If it goes up on their website as an official announcement or some kind of press release, then they acknowledge that this is a very serious issue, as opposed to, oh, it's just some drama, just deal with it with the Twitter, right?
With the Twitter. Nice boomer talk there.
I mean, but I think that is actually what's going on here, is that it is less of an acknowledgement that they have done something wrong.
Which, by the way, is one of the elements that I would characterize these apologies and follow-up statements with that I find the most distasteful, is that at every point... they say they want to apologize. Half the time, by the way, they just say they want to and don't even actually say, I apologize. So that's one distinction. But whatever, let's not split hairs. As we've seen, these are people who say basically glib statements without necessarily analyzing all the words that make up the sentence they say before sending it out. What I would say, though, is their actual actions betray that at all stages, they seem to want to accept the minimum responsibility and culpability, that they seem to deflect as much as possible. Whenever pushed to a corner, they don't actually address the fundamental causes of it, like conflict of interest. They just spin it and start attacking the people who are bringing those aspects up, hence fake news, other aspects like that. You're just doing it because she's a woman. Like, these tactics do not belie someone who's genuinely, sincerely sorry, yes, knows that something wrong happened, and plans to fix it in the future. It doesn't suggest any of those three things. It suggests legitimately that these were just reworkings of, I'm sorry I got caught. I know you guys are disappointed when I do things that you don't like, but here's why it's not a big deal anyway. And besides, did you know the people that are saying this? They're all sexists and idiots anyway. Plus, you know that we're all cool people who'd never do anything wrong anyway. Love y'all. See you in the summer.
We're
going to win anyway because we got double lift. We got away with it.
I love how Loco Doco just has this 1,000-yard stare of a man who has been totally defeated. His interior castle has just crumbled. TSM is gone. And I think this is what a lot of fans are feeling right now too, because here's the thing about TSM. You hear so much shit over the years about them, and people are like, oh no, Thorin and Monty are just mean. It can't possibly be true. Guess what, guys? It's all true. It all came out. It's all true.
Stares off into the...
like, there isn't a defensible position left. The walls have all come tumbling down. It's fucking Jericho out there. We blew the horn on Twitter, and then all the walls came down. The Emperor had no clothes, guys, and you've been defending him the whole time.
I don't think TSM is over. I'm just really
disappointed. It's not over. It's not over. That reputation, their ability to fight in these scenarios is over. Sure. They have been completely exposed.
I'm just so disappointed in like Lena and Andy, because I know them to be better decision makers. I know them to be better executives. And the steps that they have taken in like the last 24 hours just does not reflect who they have shown me personally to be as a person. So
panicked. Like they panicked and they make statements like rashly then, like
they lash out, of course. Like I said, the
this is what we've been saying they do
suggest that they get pushed into a corner and they go, right, I've got to fight my way out, and they're just flailing at everyone.
I think it's really telling that the first like statement you got from TSM out of this is a Reddit comment.
Yeah, why, like, Lena, why the fuck did you go to Reddit? Like, why do you have to explain to Redditors what's going on? Like, oh my fucking god.
Yeah, and it not only that, but it admitted that this had been going on for some time, and we don't know the depth of that anymore, but we have all we need. We have the evidence that information was given that was privileged, that should not have been given to Doublelift. It leaked on stream as well, and that we know that these business conversations have been happening over some duration of time. I mean, any duration of time is unacceptable, but now we know that this was a commonplace activity that they don't even think is wrong. These people, they cannot be allowed to continue this because they don't understand what they're doing, period. They have been given a professional responsibility, and they have completely abdicated that responsibility. And we have the evidence, and the only thing we can do is say that it must be stopped. Because at this point, you could say, well, it's only going to harm TSM. No, it's now harming people who are trying to leave TSM, like Dardock. It's harming the reputation of the LCS. It's harming the sense of competitive integrity.
By the way, a couple of things I just want to say at this point, and just quickly. One is, when will we be getting the apologies for all of the lies, provable lies, based on their own testimonies as well as circumstantial evidence that they have lied? When will we be getting the apologies for the lies? Is lying just cool with everyone now? Like, I don't know when that became a thing that everyone was just fine with provable lies. Like, last thing I checked, that's supposed to ruin your reputation when you lie. Secondly, the other thing would be this, is, how has nobody still, even someone who knows TSM tangentially, reached out to them and shown them what I have mentioned so many times in my videos on these topics, which is that the response from people like me is directly connected to how I am attacked when I expose the previous piece of information. Like, the fact that these people don't even get the game strategy they are playing is unbelievable to me. They're the equivalent of someone in the game who cut, like, they're like Fnatic in that LEC final where they constantly started all the skirmishes and then just got their head smashed in completely. Like, it doesn't even make sense what you're doing at this point in time. Like, you're not only causing the initial problem, you're then causing the backlash, which you get angry at, which then makes you do another response, which causes the next part. Like, how they can't, like, I mean, I guess we've already discussed they can't understand the premise of responsibility in this scenario, but like, it's just poor strategy as well. Like, I would just change up your game plan. Like, first of all, if you really want to be honest, apologize for the lies. And then secondly, understand that you could have killed this with silence. Like, this whole issue would have been a few tweets from Monty. That was it. Then if I'd have got those Discord, maybe I'd do one video. That's it. This whole thing would have been over like a week and a half ago. This wouldn't be continued. They've actually allowed it to get to the point that then when this final for King came out, I mean, this just kills the case dead. Like, there's not even any debate to be had on some of these topics now.
I think all that was needed to be said was just that, like, we regret that information was leaked on like a stream. Like, we're taking actions internally that to make sure this doesn't happen again. And they don't need to say anything more than that.
They're not obliged to say anything more than that, yeah.
I mean, at this point, the LCS actually is, because they do, again, the LCS has to address this in some way, shape, or form when that information gets leaked, because it's now damaging other players. There's also the issue, which we can get into now, of the Players Association. Oh boy, totally not a farce, by the way.
You might enjoy this, by the way. This is a take that I've almost been like savoring this like Turkish delight or something. I don't want to take too much. It'd be too rich. I'd feel sick. I just want a little bit, just get around the palate. I feel like a sultan like 7 centuries ago or something. Like, I was listening because obviously I was playing a game of League of Legends, so I was in that hate mood. So I thought I'd put on Hotline League. Sure, I don't that often listen to it, but I thought, you know what, this episode might interest me. And in this episode, I can't even believe this was the take. I believe the take, I think it was Travis who expressed this opinion, was, well, at least it's better to have my square brackets, a Riot-controlled player association than no association at all. And it's like, Travis, that would be the opposite. Like that wouldn't be the best scenario. It would be better for it to be no player association, it to be obvious there was no player association. And therefore, when problems happen, people to go, you know, there really should be a player association. Instead, to have a player association in name only with no legally binding collective bargaining agreement and therefore zero power. And also, by the way, no power, even as far as I can tell, to withhold their labor. The only mechanism by which, as far as I'm aware, workers' unions can actually force change, all you've done is create the illusion of a player association.
Well, so I want to make this like explicitly very, very clear, because a lot of people haven't gotten the memo or just are uninformed of it. Like I keep seeing it referred to as like NALCS Players Union. It's not a union. Riot has come out very directly saying that it is not a union. That's why it's called a player association, because the Players Association is funded by Riot. They're very clear on this when franchising started in 2017. And the thing is, it is federal law that
to conflict your interest in itself, right?
Well, the thing is, like it's federal law that a union cannot be funded by an adversarial
for party. Obvious reasons.
Yeah, for obvious reasons. So they have a Players Association. Now, I think the intent behind the Players Association was to create a forum where players can come together to talk about any issues that they have and try to at least make unified pushes. And then they get a taste of what organizing is like. And then they go off and then they make their own union. And then Riot doesn't have to fund it any longer. Like, that's what I feel the intent was. I've talked to several people at Riot, and like, they've alluded to that being the intent, is getting the players more interested in the process. So they're creating a forum. They're creating a platform for it. The issue is that the players don't take it seriously. And I think we've seen this time and time and again. And
across all these sports, by the way, that these same things have been set up. The Dota one, similar. CSGO, we have a similar thing. I can corroborate that it's mainly that players themselves aren't interested in the process.
I keep saying to a lot of people that ask about this is that you're not going to get a true player union until there is an issue that unites at least 60% of them, because that is the legal cutoff. But like that, you have some sort of issue that touches all of them. So like, and the only thing I really see happening is there's some sort of financial issue that happens. For example, the league rakes in like hundreds of millions of dollars in sponsorships, and then the players salaries stay stagnant. Then if that's the case, then you'll start to see a union crop up, because players are not getting a cut of the pie. Like, they're not getting a piece of the pie there. So that's when you'll start seeing it really happen, when there's a strong financial incentive. Currently there is no strong financial incentive, because every team loves to tell you like, players are the one that make the most out of this. Yes. Like, we don't make any money. Like, and that BS aside, players are not in a position right now where they are incentivized to organize. There's no uniting issue. I think the closest thing there was to being a uniting issue in esports as a whole was probably that whole PEA, like the WESA stuff. Mm-hmm. That was the closest thing I've seen. And even then, I think it just crumbled once, like, everyone was like, oh, PA is gone, PA evil. Yeah,
that was never even forced through. What happened is basically the owners in that scenario just said, the PR is so bad, we just give up. Legitimately, that was just how it ended.
Yeah, I mean, when things are so good for players right now, considering how much money they're making, like, there's no need
to... Less the junglers for TSM, but yeah, I get your point.
Most junglers for TSM do very well afterwards. We'll see the same truth in our dog.
And I think another point to say is with the PA stuff, I think you made a tweet about it in jest, either you or Monty Thorne, is that three out of five of the board, like the executive members of the PA, are like TSM like players. Like, to be fair, like, they weren't on TSM when they were elected, but I know from just having talked to some players and talked to people around it, players didn't necessarily take that vote super seriously in the first place. So who knows, man? I want to see PA really be a good forum.
The problem with that is, I get what you're saying there. Obviously, they didn't elect Doublelift when he was on TSM. But the point is, like, first of all, the second Bjergsen gets any ownership stake, I mean, immediately, why aren't they? Again, this is why conflict of interest is a thing, guys. It's not that it happens yet. It's that if you sell someone a gun and they go, I like to kill people, you have to think, nah, maybe I should keep a track on that guy. Like, this is the reason why the precautions exist in the real world. So, for example, in that case, like mental health checks for people who get guns, etc. So in this scenario, you're looking ahead what the problems could be. You're not trying to, at the end, in this case, clean up dead bodies or horrific scenarios. You don't want to be in that situation. So in this particular case, the idea that like these things are only even addressed when people like me bring it up. So it has to be some British guy who's ginger from northeast of England has to start tweeting about it incessantly. Otherwise, no one's ever going to look into these issues. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even be me having to bring it up. I should be finding out about it by this. Like, what should happen is it should say, the news story should go like this. Day one, Bjergsen announces having equity within TSM. Day two, player association to meet to determine what to do with Bjergsen. Player, like, day X at that point in time. Determination of what happens with Bjergsen. Here's the outcome, and here's our explanation as to why. There we go. That would be being professional on all accounts.
By the way, it's somebody's full-time job, correct, to run this players association?
Yes. Hal Biagas.
Okay, fire that guy. Period.
That's Monty's opinion. I don't even know really what that person does, so I'm not.
I have no idea who that guy is. But speaking of future conflict of interest, like one thing that doesn't get talked about is like TSM fans say this, like there's no conflict of interest. Like Doublelift and Lena are on the same side now. What happens in the future? Eventually, Doublelift isn't going to be a starting player for TSM, or he shouldn't be the starting player for TSM. He's not going to be good forever. What happens in like that exit process? Like, if Lena still has say in it, that's a conflict of interest too. Like,
or she'd have to recuse herself.
Yeah, I mean, people think there's no conflict of interest. They're on the same team. How can there be conflict of interest? Like, if you truly believe that, like, look into the future. That's also problematic.
Yes, but I mean, obviously there is, but that issue is a conflict of interest within TSM at that point in time. And yes, is it a conflict of interest? 100%, definitely it is. But that's something that the investors and Reggie need to figure out, right? That's something for the board to deal with. The problem is that this situation is now doing damage to people who are trying to exit TSM, who are trying not to be part of the org and go somewhere else in the market, right?
I mean, that's what I'm not a fan of players having ownership over the teams they play for, because in most cases, the way the ownership stakes are set up aren't super favorable to the player. The only point of having ownership is to, like, when you have ownership, what you want out of it is that you want to eventually be either sell it or get a share of the profits.
Yes.
Right. That's what ownership gets you. You want to either cash out on that ownership or you want to get a cut of the profits. I don't like these ownership kind of like rewards seem more to me as like teams finding a way to like get players locked into the team to make it difficult for them to leave. Because if you leave, you have to give up your ownerships. Like, they probably have something
on the deals.
And it's like, they probably have something baked in where it's either you don't get market rate for your ownership stake, or you just give up your ownership stake when you're the one instigating the process of you leaving.
Listen, we're on the Cloud9 channel now, and Jack Etienne, when he appeared on the last episode of The Crackdown, said that he had it built into the deals for the players in Cloud9, League of Legends players who received equity, that it went something like this. If the player chose to leave and go elsewhere from Cloud9, they essentially relinquished their equity. If Jack sent them elsewhere, he traded them away, perhaps in this case they didn't even want it, then he was required, I think, to cash them out at like a reasonable rate or something. Yeah. So he'd even built it in to make it so that obviously he himself couldn't then just go, ooh, the ownership might be worth a while. Fire this guy. She sent him away just to get rid of, like, it was essentially, as you're saying, it was specially set up for what circumstances he would leave under.
Right, but even in those specific situations with, like, you know, the ownership, you know, system that Cloud9 had set up, it's still another step that the player has to consider before moving teams. So it's like, it's another, like, I don't want to say shackle, but like, it's another like kind of hindrance or something to think about before you make a decision about leaving or moving somewhere else. So like, I don't like the fact that players are getting, like, that ownership is even being allowed as a part of compensation. Pay them cash. Like, it's not that difficult. Like, I know liquidity sometimes isn't, like, some teams just don't have like the capital on hand, but like, then don't get those players. They're out of your budget.
I think it's mostly a concern of having players have a vested interest within the success of the Cloud9 organization, because I think it's a mentality difference most of the time, because players are oftentimes very reluctant to do sponsored deliverables or be enthusiastic about being the face of a team. And you can pay them as much money as you want, but that's not going to change that mentality. Whereas sometimes I think it can change the mentality if they feel like they are helping grow the team. So I do think that there are reasons to do it.
There are reasons to do it. I'm just saying personally, I'm not a fan of it in general, like because of, I think player mobility is probably a big priority for me when I work with my clients. Like, how mobile can you be when you inevitably have a change of heart in how your relationship with your team is going?
Like, the big problem to me is this. I love the idea of especially like figurehead, face of the franchise players one day having equity. It's just that right now, the only way they'll get the equity is to leverage that they're an enormous superstar that's necessary right now. That's how they're going to get it. There's no real way to be like, well, you get the equity, but it only starts 5 years after you've been in the team, because unfortunately, we live in a world where you can't trust these orgs in 5 years if the valuation's 5x what it is now to give you that equity. If anyone's seen the movie The Social Network, that isn't something uncommon where someone just goes, I know I sort of promised you equity, but it wasn't on paper, so shit out of luck, aren't you? Not illegal. No, but people will be unethical. So unfortunately, on the one hand, I love the idea. Like, I hate the idea that someone like Bjergsen could have gone his whole career, and as far as I'm concerned, saved TSM, and at times single-handedly carried it on his back, and then could leave his career just having had a lovely salary, but then TSM, the org, has gone magnitudes higher in valuation, and he never gets a taste of that ever. He just gets some statue built from 20 years down the line. Same as on all the sports stars, Michael Jordan with the Bulls, Magic Johnson with the... Like, I hate the idea that these people never get to kind of share in the fruits of the success, but at the same time, I don't really know any logistic way you can do it right now, because as anyone who's familiar with the Renegades case will know, or the Jens Hilger G2 Fnatic case, Riot claims that they treat all future agreements that haven't even kicked in yet as if they are now already activated. So if you signed a contract with Bjergsen that said you don't have any equity now, but from the day you retire, you know, each year after that, you will vest X amount. As far as I know, Riot would treat that you own it now. Therefore, it wouldn't actually get us around this scenario. You'd still own the equity, essentially.
Right. I mean, as they should, though. Like, that's totally correct, because it's a consideration when you leave the team.
You're saying this is basically why we can't have nice things.
I mean, yeah. Why can't we have nice things? You know? Because it's always ruined. That's why. It always gets ruined.
There's always some angle shooter ruining it.
I mean, the thing about it getting ruined, though, is that this is one of those scenarios where we don't have to let things get ruined. Like, we called this one. It was so easy to not be in this situation with TSM that we're in right now. Like, step up. Chris Greeley, buddy, commissioner of the LCS, you are a lawyer. Come on. Like, get out there and do something about this before it happens. This is your responsibility. Like, to a certain degree, yes, TSM did all these things, but you could have prevented this from happening, and indeed, I would argue that that is your job. It's not like no one was saying nothing. It's not like you were blindsided by this. This was months and months and months in development.
Yeah.
I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy to go out and like insert yourself into these situations. And would it have caused a lot of hate in the community? Yes. But you get paid a lot of money. You know, everyone hates Roger Goodell. You know, I found out how much money Roger Goodell makes the other day, who's the commissioner of the NFL. $40 million a year. That is the equivalent of the highest paid player in the league, like the best quarterbacks in the league.
I think that's higher. I think that's actually higher than the biggest quarterback salary. And by the way, totally justified, because the same way that quarterback has that middle linebacker coming at his head every time, Roger Goodell's job is essentially to go out and lie in the stocks and have everyone in the world throw a cream pie in his face and then go back and then go, none of that was even my fault, but the $40 million does help.
I know. I mean, like, if somebody goes out there and really messes him up and he gets a really deep laceration, at least he has $40 million to bandage his wounds with. I mean, that's just 1 year. Like, I was blown away that he got paid that much money, like, knowing player salaries. You know, whatever.
I mean, I think it's a test. That's a testament to how big the NFL is.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's still nutty that he would get paid more than like even the best player in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, going back. So I think what you're saying is Chris Greeley doesn't get paid enough. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what Chris Greeley gets paid. I'm not here to say ever if he is compensated appropriately. But the thing is like my point is that as the commissioner, sometimes you just have to go out there and you have to say things that people don't like for the good of the league. And I know that, like, if he had just done this without any of this shit happening, like, I know it would suck for him. He would get a lot of hate. He would get a lot of blowback. I've seen how TSM reacts in this situation before. Reginald would have gone on the warpath 100%. Like, we know how these people behave. There would have been a lot
By the way, I'll just say this again. I'll just reiterate a millionth time. You see how they behave publicly, how shameless they are with their lies, how they will repeatedly say mistruths about people, disingenuous statements intended to deceive you. You can only imagine what they do privately. Some of the things I have heard that they have done to journalists, that they've done to organizations, some of the ridiculous demands that they have made of people where they had financial or political leverage over them. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why this has to be dealt with entirely in itself. Like normally Riot are the company who are all over the optics of a scenario. The last thing they want is the optics of it to look bad. So the notion you don't even address this, that does seem like it can't even be on the table. Even if it's a non-answer like that investigation one, there has to be some statement made, I think.
Well, obviously.
They'll probably make something. Just it's gotten too big.
But yeah, I think like sometimes you just have to be the bad guy. And you're paid to be the bad guy. That is your job as the commissioner. You don't always have to get to make people happy. You are the steward of the LCS. Sometimes that means making unpopular decisions because that's what people agree upon is who know their shit, not the plebs, who agree upon that that's the right course of action.
I want to ask Loco Doco a question here.
Sure.
Right, Loco Doco, one thing I would give you credit for, I don't care what anyone says, is I think generally you have a decent set, like finger on the pulse of the community where people are at. You obviously know TSM fans. I mean, you seem to, it's funny, even though some of them diss you, generally I feel
most
like
they hate me.
There's still a decent amount that are like reasonable. I think like you're like their guy or whatever, and you're like you're the first line of defense for TSM or whatever, you know, they kind of mess with you on that level. So I would ask you this. Like, I personally do not think this will actually be a death blow to TSM fans. Like, I've seen TSM fans rationalize almost anything at this point in time. So I think they will find a way to jump around mental gymnastics. They'll just wait a few weeks till the emotion lies down. They'll wait until the next thing comes along and they'll be fine. They'll be back on the bandwagon. They'll be enjoying TSM for whatever reasons they enjoyed them previously. But I want to know this. Do you actually think that the general community will follow suit and that eventually, with a lot of things, will it just go back to normal? Will we forget about all this?
I don't know. Isn't the general consensus pretty against TSM for like the last 2 years? Like the big one I remember is like the Zben situation. Like Zben wanted out, but Zben didn't get let out. The Acadian situation, and then now this. I think there's just been event after event that has made like people turn against TSM. When you're asking me the question, do you think it'll make like people turn against TSM? I think like the general consensus is already against TSM.
I mean, you have. I think if they were winning this whole time, as well as like,
that would probably solve it all.
Yeah. If they were winning and then all these like things were happening, it's like, well, like, you know, they know exactly what they're doing, even though these like are like unpopular decisions. So it's hard to say. I think TSM is one of those unique teams. And I think Cloud9 is among them too, that where like players are fans of the team and fans are fans of the team, not the players. And then the vast majority of esports fans are like fans of players. And so it's only really with TSM and like, you know, and more recently now with Cloud9 that I've seen where like fans are actually fans of the team, regardless of what the roster ends up being. So I don't think this is a death blow for like TSM fans. I think they're still going to go strong. You'll still have the all hardcore fans.
And TSM fans are very fanatic, like just due to the whole like 2014, 2015, like that success and the kind of fan base it built, and even in the past. And also, there's such huge personalities on the team, like Bjergsen and Doublelift. Like, they're fans because they're fans of that player. And I don't think what like Andy, Lena, or rest of TSM does really matters. Like, legitimately, like this could go terribly for TSM, but fans of Bjergsen, fans of Doublelift, will still stay fans of TSM.
One sec, I'm just going to write something to you. Why don't you just read it there for a second? You two can talk about something. <All right.
laughs> Secret communications.
Well, what's your thought on it, Monty? Like, it's just, you think the TSM fans are donezo?
No.
Are we going to get donezo manifesto from the TSM team, the fans?
To their credit, I think, like, I've had a lot of fans personally, like, I've had thousands of tweets at me in the last couple of days. And I have had some TSM fans say, like, this is it. I'm done. Like, I can't. This is actually indefensible. I'm not here for this. I'm not a fan anymore. So it has had some effect. I don't know how much of an effect it will have in the end. But I can't say that it's zero. There are certainly, I think, a bunch of reasonable people who this is kind of the last straw.
Anyway, just check my message there.
Yeah.
I'll just say something very quickly on that topic, which is that, listen, I don't actually blame anyone who's a TSM fan who stays a TSM fan. And the reason I say that is because it'd be pretty hypocritical as a massive fan of, like, Ray Lewis, John Jones, like, Antonio Brown. Like, I'll pay to watch these people play tomorrow. I don't care what they've done. Unless they literally probably did something to me, I can't lie. I would still pay to watch these people perform in their sport at the highest level. I think they're amazing. And even though I understand it may be the case they did some really messed up things in reality. So I'll just say that the main reason people are fans of TSM is presumably they like to watch them play or they like something about the atmosphere of the team. So even though logically you might be able to say, but you don't agree with this behavior or you wouldn't like a friend who did it, that's not the role that TSM is playing for them. So I get it that a fan sticks with them. The person I would like to really speak to on this topic is the potential player who might join TSM in the future. Look at how they have treated their players. Look at how they have treated people who exit the TSM org. Look at how they treat their opponents and how they malign them and lie about them. People who, by the way, are probably your friends in the industry. People that maybe have even helped you get to where you are. People who, when you're on other teams, you don't have to have these problems. You don't have the owner telling you to go on some sort of a smear campaign against these people. The other owners, the Ocelots of the world, they're cool with you working with them, the Jacks of the world. They even would encourage you to go out there and be part of the community. So I would just say, this is one area where I already know in the last couple of years, a lot of big free agents didn't want to join TSM purely because of the scrutiny of the fan base and that you have to win, otherwise there's no excuse, etc. But I would just say this is another reason to bear in mind when you go to join that team, because everyone wants to believe it's going to work out awesome and you're going to be there for years and years. But there's many cases where it won't. And this is what happens when you get put in those positions. So just something to consider. It's up to you at that point in time what you then do with it.
Okay. So here's what's going to happen now, guys.
You ready? Cameo.
You ready?
Whose music is that?
By God, is that? I can't say his name's music. So what's going to happen right now, guys, is we're going to take a quick break. Now, we're going to come back with a special guest, okay? If you are hearing this on the YouTube VOD or on the audio podcast, go to the Twitch VOD if you would like to see the special guest. The special guest will not be on YouTube, will not be on the audio podcast for you guys, okay? So that's what's going to happen right now. We're going to come back, talk to our special guest a little bit. And then, you know, I thought we'd bring back some of the fun stuff that we did in the studio. We've been sent a lot of really fucking funny memes, guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our mystery guest on. And then with our mystery guest, after we get our mystery guest's take, we'll look at some of the memes together and we'll have a nice laugh together. We'll have a good team chuckle to close out the show because it's been very intense and very serious. So again, Twitch VOD is where you will find the mystery guest. Mystery guest will not exist anywhere else. Okay? So with that, let's go to a quick break and then we'll see you guys once we get everything fixed up on the other side.